while I was drinking. We were swimming at the beach. We were partying over there, and some of us swam to the floating dock, and then we were supposed to swim back. But my intention was just let the current take me, and I was going to let myself drown.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land, there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Josephine Janai. I'm from Sapatoya Cree Nation, and I live here in Swan River, Manitoba. I was born in Birch River. There were 17 of us in the family. And but when I was growing up, there was only I don't know how many of us left. Six or seven. I got to count. Let's see. Fair and Larry. Five, six, yeah. Six of us left. And my parents never really drank, and they raised us good. We never ran out of food. And they both worked in the school as janitors for many years. And it was a good life. Every summer we always went to Kettle Hills. That's about an hour and 2 hours from my reserve. We always used to go there every summer, July and August, to pick blueberries. And that's whatever we picked, we just lived on the blueberries. As my mom and dad were, that was their holiday, and they never got no pay. So every summer we just went there. We didn't get to, you know, our parents never told us that they loved us or hugged us. But I guess that's the way they were raised as well. And we were always watched closely. Like, we were all, before dark, when it was getting dark, our parents, my mom used to call us inside all the time. And we weren't allowed to run around. We were always had to be close by. My mom had to always know all where we were. And that's the way I am with my kids today. I don't let them run around all over. And wherever I drop them off, I expect them to be there. And when I, you know, cause I won't pick them up again. That's the way I was raised. So I still, I still hang on to that. Cause there's so many evil things out there now today. We lived by the Pelican Rapids School where my parents worked, and the thing I see in there was how the teachers treated other children in there. Like, I wasn't treated, you know, bad, but I did get a strap too at one time for something very foolish. My teen years, I always, as I was getting older, I never wanted to leave my friends, because every summer we had to go to Kettle Hills for 2 months for our summer holidays, and I never wanted to leave my friends. I wanted to hang around with my friends. And eventually my mom just let me go one time, and I don't know, and I learned things. Like, my two older brothers were always the ones that were at home to keep the house. And so my mom left me at this one time, and because, well, we had summer jobs, so I had to stay behind too as well. But I started getting into drinking. And a lot of things have happened to me because of that. I guess that was the reason why too. My mom wanted us with her all the time, but I've learned the hard way, and There's so many things that happened to me because of drinking. You know, to go party with some of your friends, and like when you go to a party, there is no one there that's going to watch you because they're into it too, you know, drinking. And then you end up getting, I don't know, some things, bad things happen to you. Even with friends or cousins that you, anybody that you trusted, you know, when you're drinking with them, and when people get drunk, they don't really care what they do. And this is what happened to me. I just got, I was sexually abused. And when this happened, it seemed like, I didn't tell anybody, but it seemed like that I wanted to drink more, you know, and by drinking more, it continued. It still happened. So I just drank and drank and drank just to forget the things that happened to me in my past. And I started a relationship too when I was 15. I was so rebellious. I was still living with my mom at the time, but I wanted to go out and drink with my friends. And, I stayed out because I met somebody, and I stayed with him for about a couple of weeks. And then when I went back home, well, the guy I was with left to go out to Alberta to work. And then when I went back home that night, my mom told me that, she didn't want me in her home anymore, and that she said, go where you want it to be. So I just left, and that was, I was on my own after that. I didn't understand why she didn't want me in her home anymore. So I was young at the time, and I didn't know that, well, she wanted the best for me, but I couldn't see that. And when I moved to Brandon in 1985, because I was living in this abusive relationship, and this old lady used to come and get my little boys, they were 3 and 4 at the time, to go to Sunday school. And once in a while I would go too, and I would see something in the Christians. Like it seemed like they didn't have, to me it didn't look like it, they had problems. They just had this thing I didn't understand. They were happy. And I wanted that, but I didn't know how to get it. Because already I was in bondage with alcohol and other things. I was blind. I was blind to the gospel. The devil had me blinded, thinking, you know, that drinking is, you know, fun, but it's not. I lost my children in Brandon. I lost my children through Child and Family Services in Brandon. I did go to treatment centers about 2 times. I went for 3 weeks the first time. Then I went back again for 3 weeks. That didn't help. And then I started, my drinking just progressed. Me and my partner separated, and I was on my own. While I was drinking, we were swimming at the beach. We were partying over there, and some of us swam to the floating dock. And then we were supposed to swim back. But my intention was just let the current take me, and I was going to let myself drown. But this man at one of the guys I was drinking with, he called me. Hey, he said, Josephine, get back over here. You're trying to do something. I used to have these suicide thoughts, but I had an AA counselor and I used to talk to him. I used to tell him that I missed my children and that I was going to go jump off the 8th Street Bridge. I had thoughts like that, and he wanted me to go for longer treatment. So I went to Winnipeg. Already my kids were in the foster home. So I went to a longer treatment center for 6 months. But at the time, I was doing it for my children, but the same time for myself, because then I would be sober for 6 months. August was when I first went in and I completed the program in February. And then I got my boys back in April. Got my kids back, my little boys back in April, and I was living in Birch River at the time. And it didn't last long because I was only doing it for them. I started to drink again. And then I only had my little boys for about 2 months, and then they were taken away permanently to Child and Family Services, that I wouldn't have them or see them until they were 18 years old. So I just continued to drink more. Then in 1989, I met a different guy, and I had kids with him as well. I had 3 children. But it was the same thing, the abuse I received the first relationship I had with the second one. And he liked to drink too, so we just drank together, and until I lost these ones too. These were permanent wards too. So all my 5 children, the good thing was they all ended up in the same foster home. All my 5 children. And, we just separated too, and I just continued to drink. I never had a home. I just had my bag. I really didn't care after. I didn't have any children. I didn't have a home. So I used to just go wherever, hitchhike all over. Because every town I went to, you know, it was there. The alcohol was there. I didn't need any money. I used to get charged for impaired driving. I used to remember what I did. Even though this last time, this was in Nepal, I remember what I did and remember driving. So I ended up in jail. But I used to end up in jail before in Brandon, and in Nepal, I used to end up in drunk tanks. But this one last time, got caught for driving, and I ended up in jail, and I made a statement right away, and the next morning this guard, he comes to my cell and asks me, "Do you know why you're in jail now? You know why you're in jail now?" And I said, "Yes, I know. It's not because I was thrown in a drunk tank." I told him I remember. And he said, "The alcohol that was in your system," he told me, "I would have been passed out a long time ago," he said. But I told him that I was an alcoholic, that I was a drunk, and that I didn't care about my life. So a few months after I got sentenced, I had to go to court in Swan River. They transferred my court to Swan, my court date, because I was close by. I remember the judge, when he was sentencing me, I remember he said that I was going to jail for 90 days. And in my heart, I wanted to thank him. I wanted to thank him. I was so happy that, you know, then I could be sober for 90 days. So I went to Portage La Prairie, the woman's jail. And in there, I started working in the kitchen because I didn't want to just lay there in bed with like the other ladies. I don't know why. But I wanted to do something. I didn't want to sit in jail, in the cell there. So I worked in the kitchen. But when I was in the room they gave me, somebody had cut out scriptures. Somebody had cut out scriptures, and there was one that really, I don't know, I guess the Lord was speaking to me at the time. It says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And I kept reading that scripture, but I didn't really understand it. And so when I did my, I didn't have to do 90 days, I did 60 days, and I was released. I kept that scripture somebody had cut out. I kept it with me. That was March of 1995 when I left the woman's jail. It was on a Friday. And then I didn't drink when I got out Friday and Saturday, but I started drinking on a Sunday. So I just continued to drink after that. Every day I just drank. And so the next year was when I lost my parents. And that really, I used to hear my mom, as I was growing up, I used to hear my mom say, "When you lose your mom, you're lost. No place to go." I used to hear her say that, and I didn't understand what she was talking about, but I remember. After I lost her, I didn't have no place to go now, but at the time they were in a nursing home, and I used to go visit them though. But after I lost her, it seemed like I lost a friend because I couldn't talk to her about anything. And after I lost her, I just continued to drink more and more every day. And now I used to go to my reserve and drink. But every time I would wake up from a drunk, I would start hitchhiking out. Even if it was 6 or 7 in the morning, I would hitchhike out because I would remember the good years I lived with as growing up with my mom and dad, my brothers and my sisters. I used to leave as soon as I got up and then. So this one last time I hitchhiked out from there and I was standing at the junction of Sapotoyak and not knowing where to go, you know, north or south, Swan River or the Paw. And I was standing there and my heart was just beating. My heart was pounding. You know, even though I was sober standing there, my balance was still not good because of all the alcohol in my system. And as I was standing there, my heart was just pounding and I started praying. I said, if anybody is out there listening, you know, take this desire away. Take this desire away to drink. And put a new desire in my heart. I said, "Lord, I give you my life." And right there and then, as I was standing there, I felt something. My heart wasn't pounding anymore. The desire to drink was gone. I didn't even have a hangover. It was gone just like that. And I felt like kneeling down. I felt like kneeling down. Thank you. And that's where that scripture came to pass, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." No, that was the Lord knocking on my heart. That was Jesus knocking on my heart. And I used to see this picture of a door, and he's standing there. There is no doorknob on there, but he's standing there and he wants someone to open the door. And when I said, "Jesus, I give you my life," you know, that it came into my heart. And I thank the Lord for, when I gave my life to him, that he has forgiven me for all the things that I've done wrong in my life. For his word says, if we confess our sins, he is able and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From unrighteousness, meaning that he has forgiven me for all the bad things that I've done in my life. And he has set me free. And once you give your life to the Lord, he forgives your sins. He doesn't remember your sins no more. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. And as far as to the east, as to the west, he doesn't remember your sins anymore. And I thank the Lord for the cross, that when Jesus died on the cross, that he has forgiven me, and that he died for me so that I can be with him in heaven whenever I die. You don't have to go to hell, and that he has done it all already. You know, when he died on the cross, when he was beaten and, You know, that he was crucified, that he did it for us, that we can have life eternal. I don't know what happened after that or where I went, but I knew that something happened to me and that he just took that desire away to drink. And now today I just so happy now that I have that peace now and peace in my life, that he is the Prince of Peace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Now today I serve the Lord, and Jesus restored my family. I have all my children now, and he has healed me from the broken heart I once had, and he is the healer. As the word of God says, that heals the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. And I'm free now. And his word says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So I just give him all the praise and the glory for everything.
Do you want to be set free? It's possible, my friend. Just like Josephine, if you will turn to God and put your trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven and you'll be set free. Set free from what? From the penalty of your sin that you otherwise will face someday. And with that forgiveness, God will give you power to change so that you can be set free from whatever is holding you captive. There's no chain He can't break if we'll simply trust and obey Him. So what are you waiting for? Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Follow Him and watch what He'll do. Because if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell. So be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.